Good morning. Good morning. It is good to see you. It's a good morning. Thank you so much for choosing to be with us this morning. You honor us with your presence, and we hope that that you find our time to be encouraging, especially if you are visiting with us. We're going to be in John chapter 18. So that I hope that you brought your Bibles, and I hope that you'll turn there. The 18th chapter of John is where we're going to be studying from. A couple of things before we get started. Don't forget, we want to invite everybody, as Ross said earlier, to the Bunny Brunch, which is Saturday. If you've got kids, bring your kids. And if you don't have kids, come too. Come anyways. And just enjoy the time of fellowship and food. And so we hope that you'll make plans to be at that. Also, one more plug for our prayer A team that is going to be starting in just very shortly. I know most of you, if not all of you, have been contacted about the way to deliver those prayer requests that the ministry staff is going to ask that team to be lifting up in prayer. And that's going to start here in just the very near future. There's still a list outside. So if you want to sign up to be a part of that group that is going to kind of commit to praying for things about our church, for our church, things for our ministry staff and our elders and deacons, then sign up for that, because that's going to get off the ground really, really soon. We have been marching with Jesus, and I use that word marching on purpose, to Jerusalem over the last several weeks in preparation for Easter Sunday, which is next Sunday. So Jesus is in Jerusalem now. And he knows what awaits him. For the last week, he has given insight into what comes next to those that are closest to him. They haven't been tracking with Jesus completely. They don't understand everything, but they understand enough to know that something's about to happen. So he's taught. He's healed. He has served them by washing their feet. He's fed. He has walked in triumphantly. He has entered as king. But he has just been betrayed by one of those closest to him. And imprisoned. The Jews, and this is important, aren't even keeping their own law as it refers to trials. They are breaking their own covenant with God to condemn a man for who they say is breaking the law. It's a backwards situation. Jesus is completely innocent of the charges. He is struck by so-called brothers in the faith. He is lied about. The law is manipulated, and he is hung out to dry to prove a political point, to maintain control religiously. And ultimately, probably mostly, because he threatens their economic status. He's taking money out of the scribes and Pharisees' pockets. And the people cry for his death. The perfect Son of God, sinless, blameless, beautiful, is sent to the Romans to be crucified. You see, he could have been killed anyway. But the Jews want him to be crucified. They don't just want him dead. They want to prove a point. And so they ask for crucifixion. They want Jesus. The Jews want Jesus to suffer. Now, Pilate, who is in charge of the Roman sector, likes to stir the pot. You've heard Pilate before, you've heard that name, but what you may not know is that Pilate is a really, really bad politician. He likes to stir the pot. He likes keeping people on their toes. He likes to say things just to get a rise out of people. And he loves keeping people in line by showing his power and his control. Now, Pilate has got his hands full with the Jews, because the Jews worship the God of Abraham and Isaac and are unwilling to accept the Roman gods. There were disagreements regularly between Pilate and the Jews. It was not uncommon for Pilate to march centurions into the Jewish sector of Jerusalem and even on the temple ground itself and offer Roman sacrifices just because he wanted to prove a point to the Jews. And then it was not uncommon for the Jews to start a riot outside of Pilate's hall and for countless people to be killed because both groups just simply can't get along. Now, what you need to know politically is that Pilate is on shaky ground with Caesar. Caesar doesn't want to hear about any more disruptions in Jerusalem. And so Caesar has told Pilate, he's written to Pilate and said, "Get your act together or you're out." So the Jews know it. They know that they've got Pilate over a barrel. And so when they say, "Pilate, we want Jesus crucified," they know they have the political capital for Pilate to do just that. So when Jesus shows up, Pilate has to negotiate honoring the Jews, keeping the Jews happy enough where they won't write to Caesar so he loses his job, keeping away from a revolt and being truthful with himself, but also wanting to prove a point. Pilate's in a hard place. He's in a hard situation. It wasn't as if Pilate had no red tape to navigate. He's in a tough spot because he can't let the Jews be unhappy, but he wants the Jews to be unhappy because he wants to be in charge. Pick up with me in John chapter 18, verse 28. "Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, 'What accusation do you bring against this man?' They answered him, 'If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you.' Pilate said to them, 'Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law.' The Jews said to him, 'It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death.' This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. A legal trial. They weren't supposed to have any kind of legal proceeding at night. No accusations unless two or more witnesses. They want $20 worth of punishment for a $2 crime. All illegal." Verse 33. "So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?' Jesus answered, 'Do you say this of your own accord? Or did others say it to you about me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So Jesus is in front of the Roman emperor, or the Roman governor, I should say, Pilate, revealing himself and the truth. And I want you to know that I really, genuinely, legitimately believe Pilate is perplexed by this whole situation. It's right here in the text. He doesn't know what to do. And I want you to see what John has done in the gospel. And I think that he has done it in an effort to ask you a question. You, the reader, and the audience, a question. There is nothing true about this whole situation outside of Jesus. Nothing. Pilate is playing politics. The Jews are lying and manipulating their own law to achieve economic status, to achieve and maintain their control in the name of faith. Many of the apostles of Jesus have fled. Peter has denied even knowing him and cursed his name. And here is Jesus in front of the most powerful man in Jerusalem, the city where the literal presence of God dwelt for over 1,000 years. And he's asking Jesus, "So you're a king?" Jesus says that there is a reason that he came into the world, and it was to bear witness to the truth. What is truth? What truth is Jesus talking about? What is truth? You see, everything else, church, everything else about this situation is false. And so Pilate, the Lord, I believe, has made this whole situation possible so that a pagan ruler would ask Jesus, "What is truth?" Because nothing else is true. Jesus has set the stage. He got Pilate. And I think Pilate's genuine in this question. What is truth? I don't think he's flippant. I think he wants to know. What truth are you talking about, Jesus? What truth? What is truth? The stage is set. And so what Jesus is about to do is done in an effort to help him achieve his mission, which is to tell the truth. In a web of lies, Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you a king?" And Jesus says, "You've said that I am. My job is to tell the truth." And with that as the backdrop, it should be no surprise how John chapter 19 opens. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. He is a king. I believe Pilate has this moment where he is actually considering what the truth is. The truth about the truth. But it doesn't last long. So Jesus becomes this living, breathing truth in this way. You see, Jesus is King. You know, it's just awfully easy, I think, for us, so far removed from this experience, coming to church every week, hearing this kind of vocabulary every week, it's awfully easy to not consider with any kind of regularity the magnitude of what Jesus has done. Do you know what I mean? It's just easy, I think, sometimes to kind of live life and forget about the crown of thorns. And what this story does so wonderfully is give us the physical ways in which Jesus serves, but also the truth, the good news behind those physical things. You see, the truth, I want you to hear me say this. The truth isn't just that Jesus is going to die. That's not exactly in totality what Jesus is saying when Pilate asks the question, "What is truth?" The truth isn't just that Jesus is going to be beaten and flogged and mocked for you and for me. That's part of the truth. But that isn't the whole truth. That's there. But the truth that Jesus is going to personify to answer Pilate's question is that Jesus is King. Pilate says, "So you're King?" And Jesus says, "You've said that it was so. I've come to tell the truth." Pilate says, what is truth? And in the very next chapter, 3 verses later, Jesus is made the King. Just not in the way that anybody expected. And it's easy to forget this fact. Jesus is the death of death. He's the killer of the curse. He is the one who destroys deception. He is the one with real purpose, the kind of purpose that catapults itself ahead of earthly status, ahead of what man treasures. The truth is that the King, the true King, rather than conquering, redeems and serves and forgives. Church, they put together a crown of thorns to crown him in a mocking way, but they crown him. You see, at the fall of man, in Genesis chapter 3, when man breaks with God and chooses his own truth, he chooses his own path, a curse comes into being. A curse comes into the world. There's this interesting phrase in Genesis chapter 3 that once man starts believing the lie, the opposite of the truth, look at what happens. And to Adam, he being God, said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And every farmer and gardener said, why? You ever dealt with a thorn? You ever dealt with a thistle? Curse comes. Thorns were not a part of God's original intent or His creation. And the reason that thorns and thistles came into being is because man stopped believing the truth. And so Jesus takes those same thorns that we brought into being and wears them on His head to restore the truth that He's the King. And rather than conquering, rather than validating what man would look at and say is important, is the real King who serves. Tony Evans says, you know, the Supreme Court is the highest court of appeals. They got all kinds of courts that lead to the Supreme Court, right? Local courts and state courts and even federal courts. But the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court. Once they make a decision about something, there's no more argument. It doesn't matter how many lower courts decided the opposite way. Once the Supreme Court makes a decision, once they decide to hear a case, everything else is irrelevant. I don't know who made a decision for your life. I don't know what court has ruled on your circumstance. It may be the court of addiction has said, I'm keeping you. I want you. It may be the court of your heart has lied to you and convinced you that you can never move beyond some mistake. It may be the court of your past has said, you'll never measure up. You're never going to be good enough. Nobody wants you. It may be the court of pain has said, I'm never going to let you move on. It may be the court of grief has said, you can't move beyond this experience. It may be the court of worry and anxiety has said, I want you. The Supreme Court is Jesus the King. And when you appeal to Jesus the King, you see the difference between truth and the lie. What Jesus, what John wants to show us in this gospel, in this experience, is that Jesus is restoring the truth. And when Jesus is the King, it doesn't matter what anybody else says about you. It doesn't matter what has happened to you in the past. When Jesus is the King, when Jesus, the worthy one, has said, then every lower court falls in line because Jesus is the Supreme Court. There is nothing true outside of Jesus. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what has happened in your life. But what I want you to see, what you've got to see, is that when Jesus interacts with Pilate, He restores the truth. Jesus wears the curse that we brought into being because we believe the lie. so that He would give us life. Do you have life? Are you living life? Are you living real life? Do you believe the truth? Is Jesus your King? Or has something got in the way? Next week, we talk about resurrection. But before resurrection, Jesus restores the truth. Do you believe that this morning? Maybe there's somebody here who needs that truth, that needs to respond to that truth. You need Jesus as your King. He may not be the King that you thought. He may not be the King that values things the way the world values things, but Jesus is the King who serves and redeems and forgives. And maybe you need some of that. The good news is He's the truth. If we can be of assistance for you this morning to point you in the direction of that truth, we stand ready. As we say all the time, this is a place of peace, not a place of judgment. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you are. You've got people here who love you and will support you, who will pray with you and pray for you. Let us help you see the truth of Jesus if you have some need. Maybe you're here and you're not a believer. What a day to show that you believe Jesus is the King. If we can help you, let us know what we can do while together we stand and while we sing.